Yes, a very warm welcome to the Racing Postcast, proudly sponsored by Unibet. And joining myself, David Jennings, today to preview all the weekend action is Ed Nicholson from our sponsors, Unibet, and two of the shrewdest judges in the game. Not only in the Racing Post, but in the game, we've got Graham Rodway and we've got Matt Gardner. Welcome to the show, boys. Now, Rodders, we were talking just before we came on air, and confidence levels are not as high as they usually are with Rodders. What's up?
No, I'm just lacking a bit of confidence at the moment, DJ. You know where it goes sometimes. I was chatting with Matt just a minute ago, you know, because we do Racing Post ratings together. I tend to do the stayers, and you know, my strike rate was 32% in April, 30% in May, 30% in July, but it's only 10% in August and 0% this month, DJ. So only 1 in 10 of my tips at the moment seems to be winning. And I can't put my finger on why that is. It just suddenly seemed to have dropped off a cliff. So I'm hoping that today and this weekend is going to be the time when I bounce back. But I'm not confident, I must admit, DJ.
Is there anything you need to talk about, anything you need to get off your chest? We're here to do some counselling if you need it, Graham.
Yeah, sometimes when you get on one of these runs, you feel like you need counselling, don't you? You just don't know where your next winner's coming from.
Well, I've got a good feeling in my waters, Rodgers. I think this is the weekend for you. Matt Gardner, you're never out of form, are you?
Well, I don't know about that. I could point you to some unfortunate, memorable poor runs of form, but... yeah, going all right at the moment, I think, hopefully.
Okay, that's good. That's good. 1 out of 2 so far. And Ed Nicholson, you're always smiling.
I'm good. Yeah, Nat came up last week, so I'm happy.
Oh, nice to get that in good and early. What was it?
I can't remember now. so a week's a long time in racing tipping.
Want betting on the horses to be anything but flat. With an app that impresses every time out. You're on. Want to watch live streaming of races in the UK, Ireland and around the globe? And get a chance to win even bigger with 3 uni boosts every day on any horses you want. Unibet, you're on.
So we'll kick off our preview of Saturday's action with the 1:15 at Haydock. Of course, it is Spring Cup Day. And the first race we're going to preview is the Superior Mile Stakes, the Group 3, and Cicero's Gift, currently in a range of 7-2 favourite. These are the best prices in the industry. At the time of filming, 9-2 Holloway Boy, Riga Reality is 9-2, 5-1 Witch Hunter, Clove Hitch is 6-1, 50-2 Sparks Fly, and Prague is 8-1. So, Rodders, the favourite is 7-2, the outsider of the whole field is 8-1. This is tricky to solve. Have you found the winner for us?
It's a good one to start off with, isn't it? When you're struggling for winners, you know, a real trappy little contest for
even
us.
Even your voice is lacking confidence.
I know,
even
yeah.
Even your
I know.
Voice. I'm a bit worried about you.
I can't get the enthusiasm up for a winner, you know. But when we do get one, DJ, you know, I'm sure it'll take off.
So our mission now, from the start of the show to the end is to get your voice from there up to there, okay?
Yeah,
so that's
yeah.
The level we need to get to.
You need to give me a lift.
Yeah.
And hopefully a winner in this first race will.
Okay,
and,
so kick us off, Rodders.
Cicero's Gift is, I didn't think it was favourite, but it is now.
Great so, start. I can't see him too.
Yeah. This will just win if the ground's soft, I would have thought. They've always thought the absolute world of this horse. I mean, they thought that this was one of the best that the stables had last season. They turned down big offers for him before he ran in the St. James's Palace, and he disappointed there, but it was quite an eye-catching run nevertheless. It was only his fourth start, and he kept on quite well after finding trouble in running. Then, of course, probably ran on ground that was too quick for him that day, and he was off the track for a long time afterwards, returned at Sandown back on his soft surface, defied top weight and a handicap, you know, showing all of the good qualities that we'd seen when he won his first 3 starts the previous season. And then, strangely, again, they decided to go back onto fast ground at Goodwood last time. And even unsurprisingly, he was beaten 19 lengths. So, yeah, I mean, I hate to put the bock on him, given my, you know, terrible run at the moment. But surely Cicero's Gift will win this if the ground's soft. Will the ground be soft, though, DJ? That's the question. Someone told me today it could be good to firm.
It's all a bit up in the air at the moment. What's the last forecast you looked at?
It's dry. certainly dry forecast, and and it's good to soft at the moment according to the official description. But it's anyone's guess, isn't it, nowadays with Haydock?
It certainly is. And before we come to Ed Nicholson, who's going to tell you about all the offers that Unibet are offering throughout the day, I'm going to run you through them. In the 115 at Haydock, in this race we're previewing, it, we've got the best industry price on every single runner from 9 o'clock. So basically, if you want to back a horse in the first race at Haydock, you've simply got to back that horse with Unibet because you're going to get the best price. In the 150, we've got money back second and third as cash. Both of those, obviously, from 9 o'clock on Saturday morning. Our extra place races are the 135 at Ascot, the 225 at Haydock, and the 335 at Haydock, and the 315 at Kempton. And the Super Boost is on offer on the 235 at Kempton. So in this opening race at 115, best industry price, every single runner. Ed Nicholson, what best industry price should our listeners be looking for?
Well, first of all, thanks for going through all the offers. I think it's probably a good race to be industry best price on from Saturday at 9 a.m, just given what Rodders has said. And when I was looking at the form, it could go from softish to firm. And that's, you know, going to be important on Saturday. I personally thought Cicero's Gift was a lay, given that we might, you know, I'm surprised that they've taken this route and he's taken such a long time to come back out and only had two runs since running really well, since competing in the St. James's Palace Stakes. He has shown his liking for slower ground. So that's where my worry is. If it does get fast, I think he'll drift, which is why I'm saying it'll be a good option for the industry best price on Saturday. And the other horses in behind are, you know, again, some of them do like softish ground, but some of them like firm ground. Regal Reality is a horse that has been taken out on ground as good to soft and soft. So if that came up soft, then Cicero's Gift would have a better chance and Regal Reality would have a less chance. So the pricing will change, I think, as they always do, but especially in this race because they're the front two in the betting, given what the ground is. So I was looking at Witch Hunter of Richard Hannon's. Now, he hasn't won this season, but he's run some good races. He has won on all sorts of ground. He won the Hungerford last year on good to soft. He went really close to winning the Hungerford this year, lost by a nose on good to firm. And he's won soft at Chester. So all ground seems to come alike. He has been running in grade two, threes, even grade one this year. And I just thought Witch Hunter was worth a bet around about 8-1 at time of recording, given that he's one of the highest rated horses in the race. And he doesn't seem to be ground dependent. Cicero's Gift is 110 rated, but I really think he needs the softest ground to show that form. So yeah, my selection was Witch Hunter, but I would wait until Saturday to find out what exactly the going is and then take advantage of our industry best price.
Absolutely. The weather could play havoc here, Matt Gardner. If it is as it is at the moment, so on the soft side of good, who would you be with?
Yeah, Cicero's Gift. I'm with Rodders. I thought he'd take plenty of beating here, to be honest. With the caveat that, you know, conditions. I mean, they're saying it's good to soft at Haydock at the moment, but who knows? Honestly, given Haydock going descriptions, it could be absolutely anything. Like, it's forecast dry, I think, the next couple of days. But, you know, I think he's just going to be the best horse in this race. You know, Holloway Boy and Witch Hunter, we kind of know where we're at with them. Sparks Fly, I didn't think it's going to be good enough, and the other two kind of need to improve a chunk. So assuming it doesn't come up quick, then I thought Cicero's Gift would take a bit of beating.
Brilliant. So we have three votes for Cicero's Gift, and Ed, you're out on your own with Witch Hunter, but you're not on your own because I presume Paul Keighley will be back in Witch Hunter because Paul Keighley always backs Witch Hunter. So that is our preview of the opener at Haydock. It's at 1:15. We're up and running and moving on to the 1:50, and this is a cracking staying handicap for three-year-olds. It is the Betfair Plays Different Handicap and Master Builder in around 7-2 favourites. Contacto is 4-1. It is 11-2 Hutchins. It is 8-1 Walter Hartwright, who's been busy of late. Road to Wembley is 9-1. 10-1 Across Earth and 12-1 Bar. The floor is yours, Matt Gardner.
Yeah, really good race. Like you say, when I was looking earlier, Master Builder wasn't favourite. He was sort of just sort of third in. And you know, if he is favourite, I think that's the right move, to be honest. I really like him. I like Contacto and I like Hutchins as well, both stepping up in trip. I just thought Master Builder shaped really well at York last time. He, you know, thinking back to that EBA meeting, it wasn't an advantage to come from too far back, and the two that beat him were both made their moves a little earlier than he did. He met a bit of trouble. I think if the ground came up a little easier than it was at York, that'd help him, given the way he kind of stayed on. It's a slightly longer trip at Haydock as well. The York race is kind of like a mile five and sort of two thirds of a furlong, so he's got a little bit further here. I just really liked his profile. It's a strong race, and I think there are some interesting horses against him, but you know, I thought favorite was the right place for Master Builder to be.
Master Builder for Matt Gardner. G-Rod, what page are you on?
You know, DJ, this is a really good race. It really is. There's some really good horses in it, some real promising stayers. And I thought that Walter Hartwright was quite an interesting runner for Ed Dunlop. And Ryan Moore has been booked for the ride. Really well fancied last time out, albeit in, you could argue, quite a weak race at Beverley. He was only four in it.
Was it weak? The winner is in good form. I thought for a four-runner race at Beverley, it was quite a strong race.
Exactly. The time was pretty solid, you know, for a four-runner race. Top speed figure of 92 on the winner. Pretty good. Not far off of what Table Talk achieved when winning the Melrose, you know. And that's it's a much more competitive race than that 4-1 run at Beverley. And the right horses came to the fore, didn't they? You know, Quietness was the winner, lightly raced improver, and Walter Hartwright was second. I thought it was worth giving him another chance. Seems to have taken off since fitted with the blinkers, DJ, Walter Hartwright. But, you know, they're literally, you know, you can make a case for loads of them. Contacto looks pretty good. Master Builders wouldn't surprise, even Road to Wembley wouldn't surprise me. But yeah, I'm with Walter Hartwright at the odds.
Okay. Not overly confident though with the sound of things, but that is the selection. Ed, you were out on your own in the last race. Are you out on your own here as well?
No, I agree with Matt. Master Builder looks like the profile of an improving stayer. He ran really well in the Melrose. This has always been the plan, apparently, to go here after the Melrose. That was his first step up in trip to this distance. The ground, again, is going to be key. He's been taken out of a race that was good to firm. He's won on soft as a two-year-old. I think softer ground conditions will suit him. That race at York was on good to firm. I don't necessarily think that's his style of running on that ground. Only run four times as well, so he's improving. Whereas Walter Hartwright is in form, has won a lot and run some good races. He started his handicap life off 60, winning. And here we are with Master Builder, who started his handicap off 85. He's still kind of a horse that's probably going more for... I would expect Master Builder to end up better than Walter Hartwright, I must admit. And William Buick is a really interesting jockey booking. I agree, Ryan Moore is a really interesting jockey booking for Walter Hartwright. But to add a quick look at how many times Buick and David Menizier have teamed up. Looking down at my notes, it's 8 wins from 44, which is not a bad strike rate. And the trainer himself is in a good vein of form. He's had 27% strike rate in the last 2 weeks. I just thought he was on, you know, an improving horse. As long as the ground isn't too fast, I think they might take him out. I think he's an improver in the field, and I think he could go a lot further in this game. You know, maybe contest higher grade. So I thought Master Builder was a good bet. And as Matt said, when I did the preview, my own preview, it was 5-1. And it's, you know, 7-2, 4-1 now. So obviously a lot of other people think the same thing.
Okay, excellent. So 2 votes for Master Builder. Good research there, Ed. And we've got 1 for Walter Hartwright for G-Rod. That is the 150. And don't forget, it's money back second and third with Unibet from 9 o'clock on Saturday morning. Moving on to the 225. It is the Old Borough Cup. It is 4-1 Epic Poet, 11-2 Divine Comedy, 1 for the Gutter, 7-1, Dancing in Paris, 8-1, Grand Alliance, 10-1, The Goat, 10-1, Knightswood, 10-1, Waxing Gibbous is 10-1, and it is 12-1 bar. And this, ladies and gentlemen, is the race. This is the one that pays for the pints on Saturday night. This is the one that gets the pizza in. This is the one that might even get your missus a Christmas present, because I strongly, strongly fancy one here. But I'll keep it till the end to keep everybody in suspense. We will start with you, Ed Nicholson.
Yeah, it's a really good race, competitive. That's why we're going extra place. I love Epic Poet. I mean, I've kind of backed Epic Poet all year, and he keeps on getting place for me. Last time out, obviously running really well in the Ebor, finishing fourth. He finished fifth in the John Smith Handicap. He's just a lovely horse. He seems to give his all, but he finds it difficult to win. He comes through beaten horses, doesn't he? So for the first time this season, I'm going to leave him alone. But I've got something for the weekend, DJ. I'm going for Divine Comedy. Do you get that? That was a big song.
That was extremely clever, Ed. You're wasting that job.
Do you like the way I've done that?
I do.
Divine Comedy loves Haydock. He's run well here before. He's won twice at the course. And he's improved since stepping up in Trip. I just think that he's still got improvement to go. It's a funny course, Haydock. I mean, I do like horses that have run well there before. And obviously Divine Comedy, I think, spread eagled a field not long ago by over five lengths with this jockey, Kaya Fraser. Drifting, though, in the market, which is a slight concern to me. But I thought he had a really good chance, and I can't see why he can't run a good race, especially with that extra place.
Okay, excellent. Thank you very much, Ed. Best of luck with Divine Comedy. Matt, hopefully Ed hasn't found the winner yet. It was a good attempt, Ed, but... You made your case very well, but unfortunately, you just haven't found the winner. Matt, have you found the winner?
Well, I don't know. I think so. I don't know if you agree or not, though. But I had Trip and Ground, possible ground concerns about a few of these, for all that it is competitive. She might find it a bit of a culture shock, but I liked Waxing Gibbous.
I'd start when it's a she. Okay, you're close. No. Go on, give your case anyway.
Yeah. She just got a different profile to quite a lot of these. It's a big step up in grade for her, which is why she might find it a bit much. But her form's pretty solid. She was second at Donny to one that was chucked in. I think he was like £12 well in without a penalty that day. She went to Newbury in a 0-70 and just bossed them like a horse that was going to be like a lot better than that grade. Travelled all over and won really easily. Kempton last time didn't suit her, sort of slight drop back in Trip, but went a steady pace like they can do at Kempton, and she did pretty well, I think, to finish as close as she did. She's by Sea of the Moon. She's out of a listed winning mare, so she's got a good pedigree to fall back on, loads to her physically. If she copes with the step up in grade, then I think she can run a big race.
Okay, so it's Waxing Give Us for Matt Gardner. G-Rod, come on. This is it, right? This is it. We haven't spoken about this race, okay? So this is completely off the cuff, but I have a feeling my brain is going to get into your brain here, and we are both going to find the winner of the Old Borough Cup. What is your selection?
I'm going to go for one for the gutter. No.
Go on, go for it.
No cigar.
Make your case.
Ryan Moore again, isn't it? So I actually tipped this in the Racing Football Outlook on Monday before I knew that Ryan had been booked. I mean, he's been incredibly unlucky not to win this season so far, one for the gutter. I mean, he should have won at Yarmouth in, I think it was a Racing League race. He sort of jockey lost his whip at a crucial stage, and he got stopped in his run. He's only £1 higher here. Of course, he came on, he beat Epic Poet in the Ebor last time, didn't he, when they finished third and fourth there. And a reproduction of that run might be good enough. But the weird thing about this race is, bar Waxing Gibbous, the rest of them all look thoroughly exposed, I thought. Absolutely. So it wouldn't surprise you if any of them popped up. But I'm hoping it'll be one for the gutter.
Absolutely not. And a producer tells me that we're running behind time already. So for that reason, I'm going to keep them all in suspense until the end of the show, because my nap hasn't been mentioned yet. It's going to win the Old Borough Cup, and it's going to be my nap at the end of the show. So we're going to keep viewers enthralled until the end of the show. So that's the 225. Stay tuned for the winner of that 225, because it's going to be my nap, and it hasn't even been mentioned yet. Moving on to the 3 o'clock. It is the Betfair Be Friendly Handicap. It's over the sharp 5 furlongs at Haydock, and Shagran, the Speedy Shagran, your 4-1 favourite. American Affair is 4-1 as well. Looking for Linda is 9-2. Gerbat is 6-1. Top Madeira is 10-1. Matt Gardner, take it away.
Yeah, I thought American Affair and Gerbat were the most interesting. I fancied Shagran at York last time. I was just a bit disappointed with him, to be honest. Though the two that I mentioned, they've got history. American Affair beat Gerbat at Thirsk. Jay Bat returned the favour at Hayedot last time. But to be honest, I thought American Affair shaped at least as well as him. Went to Ponty last time, ran well. I don't think Ponty's his track, to be honest. Back at Hayedot, he's got Amy Waugh's £5 claim back on. I still think there might be a little bit more to come from him. So, yeah, American Affair for me.
Beautiful. American Affair, ultra consistent. And Amy Waugh, what value she is for a £5 claim. Ed, the sprint at 3 o'clock. Where do you lie?
Well, there'll be a right hue and cry in the Nicholson household if Looking for Linda doesn't win this, because I've been backing this horse all season. And although the
mark's been a search party out for her.
Sorry?
There's been a search party out for her.
Yeah. Well, it's been a search party when I've backed her. She's run well, though, at times. And she's not really done much with the ratings. They've gone up from 83, 87. But she ran really well last time, I thought. The handicapper thought so as well and put her up a pound, having been dropping her. So I'm just hoping that that resurgence in a bit of form means that she might just be a bit more competitive this time. But Carl Burke's horse is always in good form. And I thought she had a good chance in what is a really open race. So, yeah, Looking for Linda for me.
Beautiful. She's going to be found on Saturday. Looking for Linda for Ed Nicholson around about 9-2. G-Rod, the 3 o'clock. Sign us off with a winner.
I think American Affair. I agree with Matt. I thought this horse is absolutely flying, isn't he, at the moment? Love sprinters in form like this. And Jim Goldie's had a great season with horses like this, hasn't he? Like Jordan Electrics just keeps turning up and running well. They had one in a staying race at Hamilton. It was last night, the night before. Tafsir, who's another horse who just, you know, keeps running and running and running. And you think, oh, I can't keep winning, and then it does. And American Affair's got a similar sort of profile. Obviously won that big handicap at first, run two absolute crackers last two starts, including a really good time last time at Pontefract, and handles any ground. So yeah, another one for Jim Goldie and American Affair and Matt Gardner for me.
Is there going to be a race in this podcast, Graham, where your voice like elevates and you get really excited and it almost looks like you're going to jump through your computer screen? Are we going to get that moment today?
Probably not.
Oh. Okay. We look forward to that. So great. Okay. Moving on to the 3:35. It is the Spring Cup and it is a Group 1, of course. And Inisherin is your 7-2 favorite. Elite Status is 5-1. Swing Along is 13-2. Jasura is 9-1. Montecibo and Isarain is 12-1. Spycatcher is 12-1. Bucanero Fuerte, the dark horse of the race for Adrian Murray, Amo, and David Egan is 14-1. Give me the Meat Boys, back to winning form last time, was 14-1. King of Blue, what a race this is, 14-1. Anaf, 16-1. I'm going to give you a full market check. Should have been a ring of 16-1. Our Power, 25-1. Moss Tucker, 33-1. Unequal Love, 33-1. Flora Bermuda, who was supplemented, is 33-1. And The Dream is your outsider of the field at 66-1. Graham Rodway, I want positivity. I want the old G-Rod back. I need him back because I can't survive without the real G-Rod. What wins the Spring Cup? This is the moment where you recapture your best form.
Okay. I think it's really difficult, DJ. I really do.
Sailing noises, but there.
Like, you don't you find it's very confusing when you get two horses running the same ownership who, like, are as good as Inisherin and Elite Status? Don't they, you know, if this was Willie Mullins, there's no way these two would be running against each other.
They're
here, would
trainers.
They? Yeah, well, you know.
Did you know there were different trainers?
Anyway, I'm going to go for Inisherin. Now, I was dead against him at Newmarket last time. I didn't think that track would suit him. He's a sort of big, long, striding, gangly thing, and I thought going downhill at Newmarket might catch him out, and so it proved. It's funny, I actually said to Keith Melrose, our betting editor, I said, this horse will finish fifth, you know, and he did. He finished exactly fifth, which was amazing. Probably my best prediction of the year.
If only you could back horses to finish 50, Rod, you'd be a millionaire.
I know. It's just, I don't know. I had like a psychic moment, you know, like got the old crystal ball out.
Is that actually true, genuine? You said to me before the race, I think Inisherin would finish fifth.
It's genuinely true. I told Keith Melrose and Robbie Wilders, who also appears on this podcast, that Inisherin would finish fifth, exactly. I said, and he did, you know, and he just ran the same race that I thought it was going to be. You know, he was there, but he just wasn't quite quick enough on that course. But he looked very good, didn't he, when he won here? earlier in the season in the Sandy Lane. He looked very good when he won at Ascot, of course, and he went off a short price favourite for that race, the July Cup at Newmarket, which, if you ask me, which is the better sprint out of these two, the July Cup is, you know, the sprint, isn't it? So he was 11-8 to win the July Cup, which for me is, like I said, a better race than this. Now you can back him at, what, 3-7-2, something like that. I think he'll bounce back, but it's a cracking race. Again, like I can't be too confident. Loads of them got a good chance.
But you're with Inisherin.
I'm with Inisherin, yeah. I think he'll win.
Okay, good. Bit of positivity there at the end. Ed, Spring Cup, what do you like?
Yeah, no, I agree. I think Inisherin's got a favourite's chance. All the same reasons as Graham, really. Very short price frame that you like. I was actually at Newmarket that day with the sponsors, and so I got to chat to a few people after the race, and I think quite a few connections thought the ground was a bit funny that day. It was a bit loose. It wasn't soft, but regional came out because of the ground. And it was definitely loose, and it was a bit strange. I thought it was a strange race. Most of the horses were off the bridle from a long way out, which you don't get in top quality sprint races normally. There's normally one or two going quite well. And then Sharon was one of the first off the bridle, actually, and then he ran on, which probably goes to what Graham said. Maybe the course didn't suit him, but his class just got him through. He wasn't that far behind him, fifth, behind the third horse anyway. And I agree, everything that Graham said. I think Inisherin's got a really good chance on Saturday in a race that we love. We used to sponsor this, and it's always a good race. But again, it is the ground. The ground will be key, I think, just to keep an eye on that ground. But we have got an extra place in this race.
We do indeed. So it's two votes for Inisherin. Can you make a three, Matt?
No, I like him. But I handicap the sprinters as well as the two-year-olds, and I've only got a pound between Inisherin and Elite Status. So at the prices, that pretty much means that I've got to back Elite Status. It's largely because I wasn't quite as high on the Commonwealth Cup as some others have been, and I was really high on Elite Status's two wins. He's just one of those horses that, since last year, I've just kind of got the impression that he's got a massive motor, and this year he sort of started to deliver on that. He's evidently not been the easiest to train, but you know, I was really impressed with him last time. It's effectively the Commonwealth Cup form. He didn't beat them by as far as Inisherin did, but I thought he beat them with something to spare. You know, he's coming here. It's probably not the ideal prep, given that he, you know, a little bit of a break and he's had a problem or two. I do think Inisherin, like Rodder said, I think he just fell down the hill at Newmarket. He didn't like it. That's not his running. I just don't have much between them. So kind of 7-2, 5-1, I'll just go with the bigger price.
Beautiful. So two votes for Inisherin. We've got one for Elite Status. And I'm on Weather Watch. It's going to be a big day for the weather. So we have to keep an eye on the weather for Cicero's Gift and Montasib as well. I am utterly convinced that Montasib will win the Champion Sprint on Champions Day at Ascot at the end of the season. If it rains here, he might be able to win this en route. But just whatever happens, whether he runs, whether he doesn't run, if he doesn't run well enough because the ground is too quick, just keep him in mind for the Champion Sprint, because I think Montasib will win the Champion Sprint on Champions Day. So that's kind of my long-term anti-post tip for you. But if it does rain here, I think Montasib is a big, big player. So that is your Sprint Cup. Have you heard about the Racing Post Insider? Here's more. Yes, welcome back to the Racing Postcast, proudly sponsored by Unibet. I'm from Unibet. We've got Ed Nicholson. We've got Graham Broadway and Matt Gardner as well from the Racing Post. So for the second half of the show, we're going to kick off with some Ascot action. And in the 135, it is the 7 furlong handicap. And the Wizard of Eye is 92. Misinformation, who looked home and host at York, but wasn't home and host at all, is 5-1. Rebel Territory is 15-2. Blueprints, 15-2. New Image, 9-1. 9-1, Mission to Moon. 9-1, Run Boy Run, and 10-1, Bar. Ed, let's kick off with you at Ascot.
Yeah, first of all, it's an extra place race, competitive handicap 13.
Why do you need an extra place here?
Yeah, time of recording it, there's 13 runners. So it is, although having said that, DJ, I've got a very strong fancy here. I really fancy the Wizard of Eye. I just, both his runs. I mean, he won the Victoria Cup over course and distance in the style of an improving horse. I know that Charlie Fellows was really nervous that day because they thought he was much better than that off a rating of 99, and he proved it the way he ran. And the reason why Charlie Fellows was confident he'd win that race is because he wanted to run him in either the Wokingham or he ran him in the Group 1 at Royal Ascot, which is a big step up. And he was there was no horse rated lower than him in that race at Royal Ascot, the Golden Jubilee. So he was taking on much better horses, much more experienced horses. And since he's gone to Charlie Fellows and been gelded, I think he's obviously shown a lot more improvement. And he looked to me to be a horse capable of being upped in grade from handicap. So I'm a bit surprised he's come back down to handicaps, having been in a Group 1, where he was ridden by Ryan Moore, if I'm not mistaken. And I think, I've watched the video a couple of times, I don't think he was touched with the Persuader, even though he finished fifth. He was out the back and just ran through like he did in the Victoria Cup, but he was too far behind and couldn't make up the last few bits on the leaders. But that was still a good run. He's only beaten four and a bit lengths in a Group 1. And he's back on a course that he obviously likes. I just thought there's a lot of positives here. And he's only up £3 for that win in the Victoria Cup. And he's contested a Group 1 since then and only finished four lengths behind, having to make ground up. So I think he's a really strong favourite, Wizard of Eye, be my selection.
Excellent case. Well made, Ed. It's the Wizard of Eye for Ed Nicholson from our sponsors, Unibet. Matt?
I think there's one at a massive price in here that's big a price. Spangled Mac. When you're really like in the kind of pattern of horse racing through the season, every now and again you get surprised by something a bit. And this horse, he didn't reappear until July, and he reappeared in a sprint race. And I kind of thought, why are they doing that? And I thought they were going to prep him for that 7 furlong international handicap at Ascot. He didn't run in that. He ran in another sprint. He basically just needed his first two runs. Stuck him back up to 7 at Newbury, and he finished fourth doing in that race that Lethal Levi won. You kind of had to be on the pace that day. He did well from a long way back, and he got marooned kind of on the near side. He went to Chester last time, and that's just not his track. All of his form's on straight tracks. He got a long way back again, forced wide. He's slid down the weight basically without either being in the form or having the circumstances to kind of show what he can do this year. He's got plenty of form at Ascot. I think 2 or 3 of his best efforts have been at Ascot. If it comes up on the softer side, which it looks like it might do, absolutely fine for him there. I think he's around sort of 20 to 1, something like that. I think he's a massive price.
Wow. You can get 16s, you can get 20s, you can even get 25s if you shop around properly. What a case. We've got two exceptional cases made now, G-Rod. Spangle Mac from Matt Gardner. Matt is one of these guys, right, who, you know, I get obviously ridiculously excited and really annoy people when I fancy one, but Matt is really calm and composed. He's like Pirlo, you know, he's just passing the ball over and back. But this is the kind of the defence-splitting pass where Del Piero was running onto it, I think. This is the one he seems to really fancy, reading between the lines and listening to his tone. So Spangle Mac for Matt. Follow that, G-Rod.
Yeah, it was a good case, wasn't it? I'm going to try and make a good case.
Better than good, I'd say.
Do you know how much rain is forecast here? Like, it's absolutely going to hack it down with rain if these forecasts are right. 72 millimetres of rain at Ascot tomorrow.
Johnny Pearson lives near the course. He said it chucked it down last night as well, so it's probably already got in there, yeah.
I mean, if they get 72 millimetres, we'll be lucky if it goes ahead. I mean, that's, you know, it's going to be nearly unraceable. It's going to be terrible ground. And that will suit Mission to Moon. Mission to Moon. That really likes soft ground. He's won two races on soft ground, both at Goodwood. He was second at Epsom on soft ground. And he's run really well on his last two runs on faster going. He was fourth in the Britannia at the track at the Royal Meeting, and he was second in his group, and that's really good form. You know, Native Warriors run well since at Goodwood. King's Gamble was fifth. I think it's been placed in a listed race at Goodwood. Kirat has won since. That was sixth. So Mission to Moon has got a huge chance if he can reproduce that Britannia form off just £1 higher. I mean, he was beaten last time out at Goodwood, but he hung badly. Maybe, again, he was just feeling the really quick ground. It's going to be biblical amounts of rain, and Mission to Moon will win if there is.
Excellent. Round about 9-1, Mission to Moon for G-Rod. And just to recall, Matt is with Spangle Mac, who can get 25s. But I'd say if you can get 25s, take the 25s, because Spangle Mac is going to go off much shorter, because the, you know, in around 260,000 people who listen to this show will probably all back Spangle Mac. And it is the Wizard of Eye for Ed Nicholson. Moving on to the 210, it is the Chapel Dawn Handicap. It's a heritage handicap. It's over a mile and a half. And French Duke, who has come into form for Roger Berry and Watnam, and James Doyle is currently your 7-2 favourite. Goodwood Odyssey is 4-1. 6-1, the Reverend. Camboo, who returned to form last time for Richard Hughes, is 13-2. 7-1, Solomon. 9-1, High Order. 10-1, Bar. G-Rod, we will stick with you.
Yeah, sorry, I was miles away there. I fancy, I reckon Ed's going to take this, Houston. Richard Tannen's runner.
Houston.
Yeah.
Why are we going with Houston, as a matter of fact?
Well, he ran really well last time out at Newbury.
The pronunciation I was intrigued by.
Yeah, Houston. Yeah, it's like two
N's. Would it not be Houston?
No, because that would be one N, wouldn't it? Houston. You know, it's got emphasis on the N, isn't there? No?
Oh. Yeah, you're right. You're right. I take it back.
Thanks. Anyway, yeah, ran really well last time out on fast ground at Newbury. Sorry, it was, yeah.
Frantically clicking.
I got lost there. Race ran in a really good time. I think, could be wrong, but I think Tiger Hills progeny likes soft ground, don't they?
Yeah,
well done. Just say yes, you know. He's out of a Tiger Hill mare, so I'm hoping that if the biblical amounts of rain come, he'll be okay on soft ground, because all of his form is on quick ground. But if he turns up and runs the race that he did last time at Newbury, he's got a big chance. So Houston.
Okay, so it's Houston. No, for
Houston.
G-Rod. Are you with Houston? No, Ed. As Graham suggested, you would be.
No, I'm not.
Another loser to add to the collection, G-Rod.
I remember Ed tipping this horse a few weeks ago, and I thought he's down to put this up.
Things have gone so wrong for G-Rod that he stopped tipping horses. He's actually tipping people to tip horses, and that's not even going well. So.
Well, the reason why I'm not following him in is actually for one of the reasons that Graham's mentioned, because I think Houston, we've got a problem, because he's been taken out of a race when it's been soft ground, so that would be a little bit of a worry.
but we have our top Racing Post tipster tipping him because it will be soft ground.
Well, he might have had something else wrong with him, but in your Racing Post site, it says it was withdrawn because of unsuitable ground. So, I think it's a really difficult race. I've just looked at French Duke, thought he was a big horse, still raw, been running in a couple of decent handicaps, but again, he doesn't seem to have any form of soft ground, so I'm worried about that. But the way he won last time, he was put up £9, was he, for that? That seemed quite excessive at Goodwood, but apparently the race before in the King George, the fifth handicap at Royal Ascot, both trainer and jockey actually said he ran a good race because he took too much of a keen hold and he didn't really stay his race. So Roger Varian is quoted in your excellent Racing Post quotes as saying it was important that he saw his race out and finished strongly last time. And he did. He literally came from a little bit too far back, really, and on a track that maybe didn't even suit him because he's a bigger horse. He rolled down towards the hill, towards the camber, and just stayed on to win by a head or so. I just thought his horse was improving, but it is it's a really tricky race, and with that ground change, it could be almost impossible to tip anything in.
I think you're right. I think you've got one part right and one part wrong. I don't think this is impossible at all. I think if you're getting 7-2 or 4-1 about French Duke, I think that's value. I really do. I thought the two horses that pulled away at Goodwood, like Gallantly is a decent enough horse and had the run of the race and was left for dead by the two at Goodwood. I think this French Duke, I think he's a group horse, and I think he'll go off about twos. That's what I think. Matt?
Yeah, straight back, French Duke. The dam and the sister both won on soft ground.
Okay.
So, you know, not overly concerned about that. The move he made in that King George V was one of the most eye-catching moves of the week at Royal Ascot. He went about six wide from an unpromising position to just about lead, I think, a furlong and a half out. It was a huge move. It's no surprise he got tired. I thought that Goodwood race, he, like Ed sort of alluded to, they were almost trying to teach him something a little bit, and he conceded first run as a result. I thought he did really well to get up. It is always a good race, this. It's full of like interesting three-year-old handicappers, but like you said, DJ, I think he's better than a handicapper, or will be better than a handicapper.
Excellent. So there you go. We've three votes for French Duke. Are you sticking with Houston, G-Rod, after we got some new information there from Ed?
Yeah, I must admit that's put me off a little bit, especially given that I'm not tipping any winners as it is, DJ. So, Stick with it, I suppose.
Okay, we'll stick with it. Okay.
I'm not confident, but, you know.
No, okay. Moving on to the 2:35 at Kempton, and this is the Unibet September Stakes. And this is always a corker, and we've had some glorious winners of this over the years, as you well know. And this is going to be interesting, because I think we're going to have a big clash here in opinions. At the moment, 15K favourite is Hamish, Lion's Pride is 2-1, Calpan is 130, 8-1 is Kemhan, it is 20-1 God's Window, 40-1 One Smooth Operator, and 40-1 Under the Sun. So Ed, I'm going to let you kick off here, okay, with your fancy, and then I'm going to bat back.
Okay, first of all, this is a super boost race. So we'll be boosting every horse in this race, so you have a chance to get the next price up, whatever you like. And it's a race that, as you said, DJ, we love this. We've been sponsoring this for the last 5 years, and some of the greats have won this. Even during our sponsorship, Enables won it. Hamish, not a great, but a lovely horse, and runs again today. Mr. Das won it. Bay Bridge has won it as well. And it will be the 2,491st race that we've sponsored since we started sponsoring races in May 2013. So it's a real good day for us, and I'm hopefully going to be presenting the prize to the connections of Hamish.
No, you won't. You won't.
Well, we did it last time, and I think Hamish is exactly the type of horse that wins this. I mean, I know he's eight and he's getting on, and you'll probably look at his last run and say, well, that was really poor given that he was fancied to win it. But I remember talking to Maureen Haggis after he won the race in, what was it, 2021 or something like that? And she said that they always have to have him ready to go because he's a ground-dependent horse, and that's why they ran him in the race on the all-weather. He has to have soft ground, and we know that now, but we maybe didn't know that back then as much. And I put this point to you, DJ. It was good to soft on the last run at Newmarket, and it was good to soft the time before that in the Epsom Coronation Cup, which is a Group 1, obviously. But it was a different type of good to soft. Because if you look at the times, that Coronation Cup was run near 7 seconds outside standard. And the Princess of Wales at Newmarket was only 1.5 seconds outside of standard. So I think the ground might have been a little bit too fast for him even at Newmarket. So I'm gonna forgive him that. And I'm going
to just on the Epsom race, like that was... A lot of that was down to like basically Ryan riding the model.
Luxembourg.
Yeah.
But at least you know he can go, you know, he can go at that pace, and he's just he has every now and again let himself down, but normally that's something to do with the ground. Or if you look at his career, he's won 10 of his 19 races, I think. He'll love the surface, obviously, as he's done before. I was surprised that he wasn't a favourite. I think he's well up to this grade. If anything, he's improving overall. And he's a grade one, grade two performer. This is a grade three race that he's won before. And I didn't really fancy anything else. Lion's Pride, I thought, was worth taking on for various reasons. But the trainer obviously done very well here, winning it five times at Gosselin's. But I thought Hamish was a good thing.
Okay, it's Hamish for Ed, who thinks he's a good thing. I think Lion's Pride is a good thing. Lion's Pride is possibly... Actually, probably, in my view, the most frustrating horse in training, because I think he's got a world of ability. I think he's tricky. I don't think he's an easy ride. But, like, what happened last time at Goodwood, like, look, Keir Schubach had a terrific August, and he's a great guy. And, you know, I did a column on the fact that you know, it's okay to criticize him. He's a good jockey, and when you've got a top job, you can even criticize good jockeys. And I didn't think he gave Lion's Pride a good ride in the Gloria Stakes at Goodwood. The chances are that he's probably a better horse than the all-weather. In fact, he's almost certainly a better horse than the all-weather. I always thought he was going to be a Group 1 horse. From right the first day I saw him, I said, this is a Group 1 horse. He hasn't lived up to my expectations, but if he's not able to beat an eight-year-old Hamish getting £3 at a track he adores, I have to seriously consider my profession. I think Lion's Pride will beat Hamish. Matt?
I thought they were both worth taking on, to be honest with you. We know loads about Hamish, and my concern with him is, like, he's generally consistent, and at his age, like, you sometimes see it, like, when they turn in a stinker, it's like it's almost the first sign of like a downgrade. I take your point, DJ, about Lion's Pride. Like, those Kempton wins, they're really strong form, aren't they? But you're relying a lot on the track, like, sparking him back to life, I think, and kind of at the prices, like, it's not really sort of my bag. You know, if you think that both of those are going to underperform a little bit, and you think that Kalpana's going to improve again, then I think she's the bet. That Glasgow Stakes that she won, I was really, you know, I don't think that the second and the third ran their true races, but I was just really impressed with her. She's generally progressive. And she's just the sort of horse that I think is going to win a race like this against a couple of kind of suspect enough characters, I think, these days. So it's not like, it wouldn't be my favorite bet in the world, but I think she'd be the way I'd play it.
Okay. So listeners and viewers are extremely confused now because I'm with Lion's Pride, Ed is with Hamish, and Kalpana is for Matt. So G-Rod, are you going to make them even more confused?
Yeah, I think I am going to confuse them a little bit more because well, on Monday, I do a column, Racing with Football Outlook, and I tipped Lion's Pride, but I was thinking that Hamish might not run, and I'm absolutely flabbergasted that you can back Hamish at a bigger price than Lion's Pride. I know that you've made sort of a strange case. I know you love Lion's Pride because you fancied him for the St. Ledger last year, didn't you? But I mean, he's not in the same class as Hamish, is he? He's not even close. You know, Hamish is close to being a Group 1 horse on soft ground. And as Ed's already said, it wasn't really very soft at Newmarket when they ran last time. I mean, our top speed going as it racing running as good. Obviously, he's won this race before, so we know he goes on the all-weather. He beat Hookham in the race. You know, I mean, Lion's Pride wouldn't even see which way Hookham went, would he? I think you're massively overcomplicating it, DJ. Hamish will probably just win. But I have tipped Lion's Pride earlier in the week, and I am in need of a winner, and I'll be taking credit for whichever one wins.
That's you're kind of supporting Man City and Man United at the same time there, aren't you? Yeah, I'm from Manchester, so I support both teams. Okay, so we've got two votes for Hamish. We have 1.5 votes for Lion's Pride, and Matt is with Kalpana. That is an intriguing, I have to say, it's an intriguing edition of the Unibet September Stakes Group 3 at 2:35. And the last race we're going to preview in its entirety is the London Mile Series Final Handicap. It is as competitive as you would expect. And of course, it is sponsored by Unibet as well. What a big day it is for Ed and the gang. Will you be there, Ed?
Yeah, I'll be there.
Excellent. 7-2 Kilt for William Haggis and Tom Marquand. It is Whitcomb Rockstar is 13-2. 7-1 Rhythm and Rock. Longley is 8-1. Woo, God, that's hard to pronounce. Valkyrian, I think it is, at 8-1. Borgie is 9-1. Helm Rock is 9-1. Talus Evolvere. I just butchered that at 12-1. God, there's some horses in this race that are hard to pronounce. Epsgard, I think it is, a 14-1. And Volter is 16-1. I really should have stopped after about four horses there, but I kept going. Ed, what's going to win this series final that you sponsor?
Well, it's hard to pronounce. It's hard to fathom as well. It's a difficult race, which is why we're going extra place, as you would expect on our sponsored race, the second of two on ITV at Kempton. Sponsored by us. I like Valkyrian. I've been at the track on two of the last three times he's raced, and he came second at Kempton in a qualifier for this when he went off at 40-1. Safi was on another horse that day, and Valkyrian almost caused a surprise. And I just like the way he ran his race there, really solid individual. And then I was at Chepstow when he won their mile series final, which was a good race. If you look at that race for Chepstow, it was a very good race. The greatest respect to Chepstow. And he won it really well. And he's come out again and run second in I think it must have been the Racing League race there recently on the All Weather. Safi Osborne's riding brilliantly. I'm a great fan of Safi. I think she's a really good jockey. And I just thought at the prices, it was well worth an each way play, especially with the extra place. But I must say, I did put it down in my notebook, and it was 12-1. I notice it's now 8-1. So there's been a bit of money for it, and it's getting less and less like an each way bet, but still back at each way with the extra places.
Excellent. Valkyrian for Ed Nicholson. G-Rod.
I think that the favourite will win it, Kilt. Only had four runs, really lightly raced, was beaten by a horse that I tipped last. I might have been my last winner. Old Cock back at Haydock last month.
That was the infamous tip where Kilt and Old Cock were both in the same sentence from Keels.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. It was a good race. You know, I mean, they were lightly raced three-year-olds, and Kilt is beautifully bred, isn't he? I mean, he's Dam is Dank, who won the Breeders' Cup, and he's by Kingman. He's right stable, isn't it, Haggis? He'll be on for a double probably. So I think keep it simple and back Kilt.
Yeah, I think there's kind of two of these type of races on Saturday where you've got French Duke and Kilt, who at the moment are kind of 7-2, 4-1. I think both of those are going to go off much shorter. I think if you back Kilt and back French Duke now, I think you're going to get serious value. Are you a Kilt fan, Matt?
No, I'm not a Kilt fan, actually. That was kind of my main deal.
By the sounds of things.
Yeah, no, I wanted to be against him. I mean, like Rod has said, it's a really good pedigree in theory. Like Dank was a really good filly, but the horses that she's produced so far, that Doom was kind of a bit underwhelming. The other siblings only raced three times and wasn't much good. I know he's still unexposed, and like that Old Cock's kind of progressive, and Cruyff Turn I think was third, who's well handicapped. I just didn't think like Kilt shapes like a horse that had loads more to come, and sort of taking in your point, DJ, that he's probably going to go off a fair bit shorter than he is now. I just wasn't convinced that I want to be with him at a shortish price. I thought Borgie was overpriced. He's basically an all-weather specialist who has had plenty of racing, but he still seems to be getting better. He won at Newcastle last time in a bunched finish where they went steady, and he came from a long way back, had to kind of weave his way through rivals. This is a better race than that was, but he's probably still upwardly mobile, and I'm not sure that's kind of true of many of these, to be honest. So a biggish price I'd be with him over the favorite.
Beautiful. So we've got two votes for Kilt for myself and G-Rod, Valkyrian for Ed, and it is Borgie for Matt Gardner. Now, before we get on to your fancies for the weekend and naps, the most important part of the show, without any question, shadow or doubt, the best race of the weekend is in France on Sunday. It is the Prix de Moulin. It's at 10-3, 250. It's Sharon versus Notable Speech versus Henry Longfellow. So in a sentence, because we're running out of time here, in a sentence, G-Rod, Sharon, Notable Speech, Henry Longfellow, or something else, who are you with in the Prix de Moulin?
I'll be with Notable Speech, DJ.
Why?
He's just better than the other two, isn't he?
Excellent.
Don't you think so?
I'll tell you in a second. Matt?
Sorry, yeah, seconded. I think he is better than the other two. So, yeah, Notable Speech for me.
Ed?
Think Ground will be interesting because it's due to be soft. I don't think Notable Speech will like that, although he's one of the all-weather, obviously. And Henry Longfellow has won plenty of times in soft. So Henry Longfellow for me.
Yeah, I'm a Henry Longfellow fan as well. I'm staying loyal. I thought it was an absolute mess. A mess, a mess, a mess, a mess, and a mess again at Goodwood. I think Henry Longfellow, they will not be so forceful this time, I think. And yeah, I think Henry Longfellow is certainly the value in that race. Okay, so moving back, we've covered all the ITV action on Saturday. Anything else you like anywhere else, Matt Gardner, on Saturday?
Yeah, a couple at Thirsk. 205 is a nursery managing director. I was at York.
you.
Oh, no.
Oh, don't talk to me about it. Managing director has been a plot job for me for quite a while. Continue anyway.
Yeah. Well, no, I was at York for that nursery, and it was 17 runners, and he absolutely knocked the eye out in the paddock. Like, he just did. He was drawn on that near
quid as well.
Yeah. Drawn on that near side, which was just not the place to be. He's all through his career so far, he's looked pretty green, and he did at York. I think he'll have learned plenty from that. This is like way less competitive. He was really he drifted a little bit near to the off, but he was quite well backed earlier in the day. So I still think he's got loads of potential. And
just our managing director as well, he's back to five. I don't think he stayed the six at York. He made that move from three out to one out on the wrong side. I think they'll just let him roll, managing director. And if he's only a 72 rated horse, I'm from Hawaii.
Yeah.
Matt?
He was dead keen in his last qualifying run as well, over five, wasn't he? So yeah, fair point. Yeah. And then as well at Thirsk, 350 is a sprint handicap. MacArthur, dead impressive at Donny. He beat Cool Dividend, who came out and bolted up in a handicap, and I think has been sold to Hong Kong since. There was a couple of solid ones, third and fourth. He was sent off at 10s for that Palace of Holyrood House race at Royal Ascot. He basically just got lost in a massive field that was way more competitive. It probably just came too soon for him in his kind of like development. He's been gelded since, given a break. He's just the sort of horse that's going to get back on the up.
Excellent. There you go. That's two for Thirsk, Mukafa, and managing director for Matt Gardner. Ed?
No, nothing else from me.
Beautiful. G-Rod?
7 o'clock at Wolverhampton.
Here we go.
This might be right in the middle of the England-Ireland game, of course, which is that on Saturday night, is it, DJ, I think?
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
There was a trace of excitement there, wasn't there, at the start, the way you said Wolverhampton then?
Ramar should win, I would have thought. Was very, very impressive at my local track, Chelmsford, just 7 days ago. Absolutely bolted up. And he's carrying a penalty, I think, or was £6 higher anyway. I don't know whether it's a penalty or not. I can't tell. But, I mean, he just won so easily. Trained by Ishmael Mohammed. His dam is Date with Destiny, who, again, was a very useful juvenile for Hannon, I think. So anyway, he's bred to be a heck of a lot better than his rating of 58, and I think he will show that he is in the 7 o'clock at Wolverhampton on Saturday night in the middle of the football.
For Hotshot Apprentice, Sean D. Bowen. So there you go. Those are fancies away from the ITV action. All that's left to do now is reveal the naps. So this is the most important bit of the show. This is the bit that gets tweeted, so there'll be a little clip made of the naps. So the spotlight is very much on us all, and I have got one, hopefully, that's going to win the 225 at Haydock. But we'll kick off with you, G-Rod. Your best bet anywhere at the weekend is?
I'll go with for Cicero's Gift in the 115 at Haydock.
Okay, on a scale of 1 to 10, how confident are you? -2?
1. 1. But that's my strike rate at the moment, 10%. 1 in 10 of my tips at the moment is winning.
Don't be telling everybody that. Keep that to yourself. That's something that... That's just for yourself, G-Rod. That strike rate at the moment. That's something just to not let public consume.
Do you know how soul destroying it is when you have to wait 10 races for a winner? So difficult, DJ. Oh, it's got to change, hasn't it? This could be it, DJ. Cicero's Gift to win, and then my strike rate will suddenly go 50%. It'll be 5 out of 10, and I've seen it happen before. I've been in this game a long time, you know.
Yeah, you know what you do, though? If Cicero's Gift wins, you just start from there. So you're 1 out of 1, you're 100%. That's the way to play the game.
That's a good point.
Okay, so our first nap of the day is Cicero's Gift in the opening race at Haydock at 115. So that's the first leg of your lucky 15, viewers. Matt Gardner, you're up next.
135 at Ascot, Spangle Mac. Big
Whoa,
price.
25 to 1.
Yeah, massive price. I really just don't think he should be. This is just, you know, you get a thing. This just feels to me like everything's kind of coming together for that horse for this run. I just think he's way too big a price. So
okay, give us the time again.
135 Ascot.
Okay, so the 135 at Ascot. So we're in the 115 at Haydock with Cicero's Gift. That's one at 4-1. We're into Spangle Mac, who's just won the 135 at Ascot at 25-1. Ed, first two legs up in this lucky 15. The pressure is on you. What are you going for?
235 Kempton, the fifth year of our sponsorship of the Unibet September Stakes. I'm going to go with the old campaigner. I'm going to go for Hamish to win a second September Stakes. And I think he'll go a favourite. I really do.
Okay, okay. You're with Hamish. What a lovable horse Hamish is. And I am going to the 225 at Haydock. We spoke about the old Borough Cup earlier on in the show. And nobody, not one of you three fine judges, mentioned who I think is going to win. And that is Knightswood for Charlie Johnson and Joe Fanning. Look, Knightswood to me is just, you know, sometimes you have a horse who is just suited to specific terms and conditions in a race. And I think a mile six at Haydock is exactly what Knightswood needs. I thought we saw a slightly different Knightswood last time at York. Knightswood is one of these horses who, look, he'd find trouble in an empty room that wasn't even painted. He's just an absolute disaster because he just runs into everything. But last time at York, he never really got any cover. He was kind of drawn wide. He never got any cover. He was keen. And he still had enough raw natural ability to get himself into a challenger position kind of from the two pole to the one pole. And I just think he blatantly didn't stay. He probably doesn't see out 2 miles, but when you're as keen as he is, it makes it even harder for him to stay 2 miles. And he didn't get any cover either. So I thought there were a whole host of contributing factors. But yet, he was still only beaten just over five lengths into seventh that day. I think he's much better than that. Just look back at his run at Goodwood, where I thought he probably would have won the race at Glorious Goodwood if he got a clear run. Even the time before at Newmarket, he was unlucky. Look, he's always unlucky. But I think this is the day for Knightswood. I think the race is going to set up perfectly. He's drawn in stall one. I just hope Joe Fanning kind of sits maybe third or fourth on the inside, that he only has to get one gap rather than look for maybe 99 gaps. So I'm with Knightswood. I think 10-1 is a big price. And we're on a good run in the Liverpool group, G-Rod. We've had two major bets this year, Corbett's Cross at Cheltenham and Magical Zoe in the Ebor. And we got a bit excited during the week and we're gone in again on Knightswood. So
you're going to be able to afford 10 trips. You'll have a season ticket before the end of this year's out, DJ.
Yeah, we can afford to give Mo Salah his new contract the way we're going at the moment. But yeah, I'm with Knightswood. So Knightswood in the 225 at Haydock is my nap of the weekend. So there you go, folks. That was it. A thoroughly enjoyable hour or so. We hope you enjoyed it as much as we did. My thanks to G-Rod, who after this week, the confidence levels will be back up, we can guarantee you. Matt Gardner, who's always throwing in the winners. And to Ed Nicholson from our sponsors, Unibet. Ed, enjoy your day at Haydock or at Kempton on Saturday and enjoy the weekend. Any plans for the weekend, boys? Anything exciting planned, G-Rod?
What am I doing? I don't know is the answer. Honestly, I just I can't think at the moment. Hopefully I'll get a few winners, DJ. That'd be nice.
Yeah, for us all, just
that's what I need right now. Like,
I think most people listening and watching are actually hoping you back more winners more than they hope they back winners themselves, just to get your confidence
You're overestimating people's kindness there, DJ. There's far too many people who want to see me this run continue. I can guarantee you that.
No, absolutely not. We love you, G-Rod. Ed, you're in Kempton on Saturday for a terrific card that you sponsor. What's the plan for Sunday?
Nothing, really. Just probably get over Saturday.
Okay, good plan. Matt, any plans for the weekend?
Quite a big weekend because NFL's back. So I'll be watching to see my beloved Seahawks beat the Denver Broncos Sunday night. And then I'm on holiday next week, off to Scotland. So, looking forward to that.
Okay, well, enjoy.
DJ, what's going to happen in the football? Are Ireland up to much? Are we going to win? England going to win?
Well, we have a new manager that we've never really heard of. Helgerson, the Icelandic coach.
Interesting.
It's a new era for Ireland on Saturday, so fingers crossed it will be better than the last era, which wasn't really an era at all because we didn't really win any matches. So, fingers crossed for Ireland against England on Sunday, but I would fear the worst. But sure, we can't lose because there's an Irishman over the English team as well. So best of luck to Lee Carsley in his first match in charge of England. So that is it. Don't forget, we'll be back with you next Thursday, and it's a big weekend next weekend because it is the Irish Champions Festival at Leopardstown and the Curra. So we'll be here next Thursday to preview all the action. So don't forget to join us there. As I said, My thanks to Ed, to G-Rod, to Matt. I've been David Jennings. And if you do enjoy these shows, make sure you rate, review and subscribe wherever you are listening or watching us. Until next time, enjoy the racing. And don't forget to gamble responsibly. Only bet what you can afford to lose. Thanks for watching.